inevitable pensar en una serie cuando escuchamos esta canción, Ismael. Hablábamos de eso muy temprano en Stranger Things, porque pues se ha hecho conocer por esto. Y usted, a propósito de eso, nos trae una invitada muy especial. ¿De quién se trata?
Se trata nada más y nada menos de Nora Felder. Nora Felder está nominada al premio Emmy este año en la categoría Mejor Supervisión Musical por la serie Stranger Things de Netflix, específicamente en el capítulo Dear Billy, que es donde pues suena esta canción. Recordemos que los premios Emmy se están transmitiendo el próximo 12 de septiembre por la cadena NBC, y Stranger Things cuenta con 13 nominaciones este año, que incluye pues mejor serie drama. Así que yo creo que Mónica, por favor, saludemos a Nora Felder, felicitémosla y que nos cuente inmediatamente pues cómo logra Stranger Things llegar a esta canción, a la canción Running Up That Hill de Kate Bush.
Nora, thank you so much for your time this morning at W Radio, and congratulations on all the nominations that went towards Stranger Things.
Oh, gracias mucho.
Our first question has to do with this song. You know, this has become a very iconic song when it comes to Stranger Things. How did you guys end up picking this song out for the fourth season?
Well, we started out with a script, and there was a placeholder for a song, and then my amazing showrunners, the Duffer Brothers, came to me. They wanted to find a song that would encapsulate all Max, that could be the character Max, that could play through the episodes, that represented where she came from, her hardships, and what she was going into in this season. You know, she was dealing with many things coming out of the season before. She had the loss of her brother. She had a lot of stress, post-traumatic stress from many things that happened. So she comes into season four in a very, in a mode feeling very, where she's feeling very misunderstood. She's feeling isolation. She's feeling trapped, and even the closest of her friends can't understand what she's going through. So the Duffer Brothers really wanted a song that she could, you know, that spoke of, the emotion she was going through, but also that could serve as kind of like an emotional crutch to her to cope, like a coping mechanism. They also wanted something that would have a build, you know, that started out and grew, so that we could use that, especially for the big moment in episode four, when the song would be needed, you know, over the scene where she's having her major fight with Vecna. So I sent some options, and this was the favorite one. This was, and you know, I let them know. I said, hey, I'm going to send you different options, because I try and send many options. They make all the final decisions, as they do with everything involved with the show. And I always like to provide to the Duffer Brothers, you know, you can, what about this or that? So they can imagine the scene with music in different ways and decide which way they want to bring it out. So I sent them various options, but I said, you know, I really feel like Kate Bush is the one. It seems to have everything we need. And they loved it, and the rest is, you know, history. So that's, sure, that's how it was picked.
Bueno, yeah. Nos dice que comenzaron con el libreto. Ellos le pidieron, me refiero a los hermanos Duffer, le pidieron una canción que encapsulara todo lo que es Max y todo lo que ella ha vivido alrededor de los diferentes episodios, de dónde viene, que representara muy bien su corazón, lo que estaba pasando en esa temporada, y también todas las cosas que venía cargando de la temporada pasada, porque pues había perdido a su hermano. Ella se sentía completamente incomprendida, perdida, estaba como atrapada de cierta forma, así que trataron de buscar una canción que encerrara todo eso y que describiera muy bien lo que era Max, y ella le propuso varias canciones a los hermanos Duffer. Nos dice que ella le gusta siempre presentar varias canciones, y al final escogieron a Kate Bush, y bueno, lo demás es historia. Nos dice que querían una canción que pudiera crecer a lo largo de las temporadas, inesperadas y sobre todo en ese gran momento en el episodio 4 que se necesitó una canción que escalara cuando ella tenía esa pelea con Vecna. Y pues bueno, esa fue la canción que al final sintieron los hermanos, porque al final ellos son los que escogen lo que quieren representar en la escena. Ellos escogieron esta canción.
Mónica, y por supuesto hay otra canción importante. No solo fue Running Up That Hill, también estuvo en el último episodio de esta cuarta temporada, Master of Puppets de Metallica. Retoman también este clásico de, obviamente, del thrash metal. Pregúntale en este caso cómo llegan a Metallica, cómo logran ese permiso y por qué esta canción en específico, y pues que se hiciera de hecho una interpretación real por parte del personaje Eddie Munson.
So, Nora, it's no secret to anyone that the fact that the Master of Puppets was part of the season, it was really iconic, you know, part of the last episode, and that just that mixture between Metallica and the character that interprets Metallica in the show. How did you guys land this mixture between the song and the episode? Because, you know, it's a thrash metal classic song.
Yeah, I mean, I think we really love that song. It just, you know, if you know the lyrics, the song really, I felt, you know, we all felt really represents what Eddie goes through, his journey. I mean, the song itself is about, you know, being trapped with your demons. And I think in the song, it was mainly about, you know, being trapped, you know, with drug addiction, with your addictions and things like that, and, you know, trying to master your fate, trying to climb out of it. And it kind of encapsulates what Eddie went through for the season, you know. And I think in this moment he really had to rise and meet all his fears and tackle them to do this fight, this selfless fight. And the song, I think, is very much like Eddie in that it's very hard-hitting and you know, kind of, I don't know how you would say this in your beautiful language, it's very balls to the wall, very hard-hitting, but the lyrics, when you listen to the lyrics, they deal with a very sensitive matter, you know, and they open up and are sensitive about the struggles that you have with fighting your demons. And it kind of represents Eddie's personality because, you know, when we first meet him in the season, he's very, you know, cocky and brash and, you know, hey, and I'm a tough guy. But then when you see him with the character Chrissy, you see that for the first time, oh, wow, look at him. He's very gentle and he has this sensitive side. And he is a very caring, feeling person. And so it also, with the fact that before he plays the song, he says, this yes. is for you, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. So and it makes you reflect back to that moment when we saw they had that special relationship.
Yes.
So the song itself, Masters of Puppets, seems to, you know, represent all of that as well. Tough on the outside, but, you know, emotional depth within the song, you know, that represents Eddie and his and just fighting to get through.
Yes. Bueno, nos dice que la letra representa muy bien lo que es Eddie, su travesía, lo que su vida, lo que él atraviesa. La canción se trata de lidiar con los demonios que tiene una persona. La canción se trata de eso, y pues Eddie estaba también atrapado con esos demonios y luchando con esos demonios. La canción habla de lidiar con la adicción de las drogas, y pues él también está tratando de dominar todo eso, tratando de salir y encapsular todo lo que pasó alrededor de este personaje de Eddie, que en el momento pues es bastante rudo, se muestra como bastante creído, es bastante fuerte, y luego cuando está con Chrissy se ve su lado más gentil, más sensible, que eso también muestra la canción, porque está la canción también se abre a mostrar esto y cómo, digamos, esta vulnerabilidad de pelear con los demonios. Así que nos dice que a pesar de que Eddie es un personaje bastante duro, después se torna sensible con Chrissy y la canción lo representa muy bien.
Bye. revista Variety habla del efecto Stranger Things el día de hoy y tiene que ver con el hecho de que cómo pequeñas gotas musicales o impactos musicales pueden lograr catapultar canciones clásicas y reavivarlas casi que como un estilo de Ave Fénix, como Master of Puppets o como Running Up That Hill de 1985. ¿Qué opina ella de este efecto Stranger Things?
Nora, so we read in Variety magazine about this specific Stranger Things effect. And what this effect tells is that you guys were able to highlight classic songs, throwback songs, such as Running Up That Hill and Master of Puppets, and how you guys launched them into, I guess, the mainstream listeners nowadays. And so the question is, what's your opinion on this Stranger Things effect that my colleague described as sort of like you rising from the ashes when it comes to these throwback songs?
Well, I think it's remarkable. Myself and the producers, you know, we're stunned and elated. We're very happy about what's happened. We couldn't have predicted something like this, where songs from, you know, what, 40 years ago, many decades ago, you know, I think these are from 1986, right? That have this resurgence and come back and go beyond where they went, you know, when they first came out. Honestly, in my opinion, great, wonderful songs, timeless, can be timeless, and I've always felt that way. I've always loved to work on projects where I pick songs where I feel like they can be appreciated for years and years to come. You know, it's like a wonderful classic movie that you want to see over and over, and it never feels old, or a piece of art that makes it through the centuries. I think music can be the same way. I've always felt that way about songs. So the fact that these songs are having a resurgence and another life so much later gives me such hope that, you know, people will realize that music can be timeless too. And yes, it's wonderful to always keep your ears open for new things, but there's wonderful classic songs and important messages that have come out decades, years, and perhaps even centuries ago that we can all appreciate as well. So that's one point. So for this happening, I think is amazing. But the second point is the main thing, yes, the Stranger Things effect. People love this story. I think that everyone seems, and the young and the old, it's very cross-demographic, they find something in themselves with the story. They relate to it. I think there's something for everyone. So when they're, you know, everyone's engaged. It's not just the young kids. It's also the older parents and grandparents that are enjoying this show. It brings families together. So I think it only makes sense that the music would bring the families together as well, as with these songs and many other songs too. So I think that in itself is the entirety of the Stranger Things effect.
Bueno, no,
you know, the story related, the story itself and related with the music and everything else about it just always kind of yes, comes out or in a big way.
Sure.
So I guess that is, I haven't read that article yet, but I guess, you know, that is the Stranger Things effect that they're talking about.
Sure.
And it's really magnificent. It really is.
Nos dice que es destacable que todos los productores estaban impresionados y felices también de lo que pasó con esta canción. No podían predecir algo así, por supuesto, cuando escogieron las canciones que son de hace más de 40 años, muchas décadas atrás, creo que de 1986, y luego resurjan y vuelvan y vayan más allá o vayan mucho más lejos de lo que llegaron cuando salieron originalmente. En su opinión, nos dice que las grandes canciones son atemporales. Siempre lo sintió así, siempre le gusta escoger canciones en sus proyectos que sean apreciadas por muchos años, y nos dice que eso pasa con una película clásica, por ejemplo, que uno quiere ver una y otra vez, que y pues cada vez con una la ves nueva, no la siente vieja, es como una pieza de arte, y ella se siente así también con las canciones que pueden resurgir y disfrutarse de toda la vida. Eso le da esperanza también con las personas, porque es agradable escuchar nuevas canciones, mantener los oídos abiertos para escuchar siempre estas propuestas nuevas, pero las canciones clásicas también tienen mensajes importantes que perduran en el tiempo y que salen incluso años atrás, décadas atrás, siglos atrás, y pueden volver a apreciarse en el presente. Y en el segundo punto, sobre el efecto de Stranger Things de esta serie, nos dice que las personas amaron la historia, encontraron algo de ellos dentro de la historia, se relacionaron con la historia. Hay algo para todos, no solo los jóvenes, sino también los adultos, hasta los abuelos disfrutan, une a las familias, y ese es el sentido de la serie. La música también de la serie une a las familias, como pasa con muchas otras canciones, y cree que ese es el efecto final de Stranger Things.
Sin duda, el playlist es una de las claves del éxito de la serie, pero por cada canción de estas que ellos rescatan, ¿cuántas escucharon? ¿Cuánto tiempo dura el proceso? ¿Y cuántas canciones más dejan en el camino?
So, Nora, without a doubt, we know that the music that you guys chose for the show has been a very important part of the show's success. However, we want to ask you about, for every song that you guys listen to in order to pick out the best playlist for the show, how many did you guys actually listen to, and how many songs were actually left behind? You know, an estimate, at least.
That's impossible. you're talking about just in general for the show?
For the season.
Oh, that is something I couldn't even imagine. I mean, you know, we go through hundreds and hundreds of songs. And, you know, also songs you think of in your mind, and then you try them to picture. Some things you try, you think are going to work great. The song needs to flow with the picture, right? That's a very important thing, where song and scene need to flow together. They need to become one. So not only are we going through song ideas, but then there's the process of trying them to the picture. And sometimes things you don't think will work, work amazing. Sometimes things you think will work amazing don't hit as well. But that process is impossible to log what you try, you know, but I would just say hundreds and hundreds and hundreds per scene sometimes, you know. So, you know, it varies. You know, for, I guess, the Kate Bush moment, that was, you know, I don't know how many songs I went through before I narrowed it down to maybe, you know, 7 or 8 ideas, with Kate Bush being the number one, and that was the obvious one. But for every series I work on, you know, I go through a lot of music, you know, trying to find what is the right yes. tone for each of the characters and then for the moment. So I guess, you know, yes, it's impossible, really.
Sure, we understand.
How many that would be.
Yes, sure. Well, Nora, thank you so much for your time in W Radio. We hope you get that Emmy. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you
so much. Congratulations on your work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
We'll be cheering on you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bueno, esto es imposible de decir, Félix. Nos dice que es algo que no se puede imaginar. Son cientos y cientos de canciones las que ella revisa. Primero, pues, las escucha, por supuesto, y las canciones tienen que fluir con la imagen. Y ella piensa que una canción va a quedar muy bien con una escena y a lo mejor cuando lo prueba con la imagen no funciona. Así que eso depende, también depende de la escena. Es un proceso súper dispendioso en el que escucha muchísimas canciones por escena, incluso cientos por escena, nos dice, y varía muchísimo. Nos dice que en ese momento de Kate Bush y esa canción que escogieron, esta que estamos escuchando, el proceso fue larguísimo. Ella pues revisó muchísimas canciones hasta que llegó a 7 u 8, hasta que la escogida fue esta, la número 1, que fue la más obvia. Pero nos dice que siempre en esas series que trabaja escucha muchísima música para llegar a esa canción perfecta y el tono perfecto que le quede bien a la imagen.